the amazing Annie Dugan. Boy, I tell you, our Where's Art feature is something that we need more than ever before, because the opportunity to look at something different on your phone or look at something different on your computer. On your computer at home, of course, it's nothing but Zoom meetings, but you can come up with some really great creative art backgrounds now. And if you don't, you just have not been paying attention. Hey, Annie, good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. What I find fascinating right now is that art really is, so many of our really important institutions have been closed because of, you know, obviousness. And what I have found fascinating is I think the museum world was already in a little bit of a crisis leading up to the global pandemic of how do we connect with people? How do we say, you know, our values are that museums are for everyone, but here are institutions that really, you know, have their roots in pretty questionable systems of cultural looting. And, you know, so how do we transform from the inside of institutions? And so they were sort of in this crisis. They were closed down because of the coronavirus, and then this, you know, I think cultural realization that there's another pandemic of people of color being killed through acts of violence of systemic racism. Well, you know, okay, there's this double crisis, and institutions have been reeling because of that. And what you see happening is this understanding from folks in the community that really the art that is resonating, sort of the Where's Art, is not necessarily inside those walls. It is on social media. We have seen a lot of folks have dealt with the killing of George Floyd, the understanding and the story of Breonna Taylor, the hundreds of stories of people of color being killed. They've dealt with that sort of that raw pain in artwork that's created on social media. So artists are, you know, the hashtag say their name, right? So yes, we are saying their name, but we are also seeing their likenesses. So Shirian Damra did this beautiful portrait of George Floyd with flowers that was really widely circulated on social media. And I think, you know, the visual call of this moment is through artists' renderings of these people. So when we see Titus Kaffer as an example, so Titus Kaffer is this really famous artist, painter, you know, exhibited at MoMA, and his cover for Time magazine, I think, reached through the sort of the art world and connected and gripped, you know, someone who might not normally visit museums might see Titus Kaffer's image on Time magazine and just be incredibly struck and moved at your core, like sort of the brain in the gut. Is that piece? It's a painting of a mother holding a child, and the child is it's a cutout. It's the child is ripped away. It's a nod to that awful moment in the George Floyd calling to his mother, both transcendent and awful as well, calling to his mother and realizing that there are mothers who are missing their children. And then along the edge are 35 names of people of color who've been killed. So I think that, you know, I'm certainly not saying that there's not a role for institutions, but I think institutions are really dealing with how they play a part in this and how they're going to go forward. So I think that you've seen a lot of public reckoning of that and a lot of public grappling with that. You know, I think that directors and curators aren't used to being questioned in that really intense way. You know, sort of they're supposed to be the quote unquote experts, and now they're realizing, oh, we have to listen. We have to do a lot more listening, and we have to do a lot more really reevaluating on how we are going to how we are going to structure ourselves and really live up to that idea that we are indeed for everyone. And one of the ways I love that the phrase, you sent me a link, and I love this phrase that, you know, so not only is it people turning over their social media to images and creating images of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and others, but there's this craft resistance, which I just think is beautiful. You know, we've seen this before, but I think it's really gaining traction. We've seen knit-ins, you know, where folks come in and they sit and they knit, which I think is just, you know, how can knitting be something that is violent, right? This is, you know, but yet is this really wonderful resistance. Well, craft resistance can be, we're all, you know, sort of rediscovering talents or rediscovering skills or learning skills for the first time, and learning craft, I think, is a really wonderful way of taking control, you know, sort of not ceding our own creativity to other institutions, but really taking control of our own creativity. This is something that we have, and it is ours, and we are able to practice it. I don't care what the end product is going to look like, but there is something really beautiful in the fact that we are making something for ourselves, for our community, and for others. Lisa sent me a wonderful piece that you can practice yourself, a craft-resistant piece, a coronavirus pinata. You can do with materials that are around your own house. So this is, you know, when you take the strips of newspaper and you dip them in glue, and it's a wonderful, you know, fill it with whatever you want. maybe you can make it in, you can expand what you're going to use for your pinata. So maybe it's a coronavirus, or maybe it is the patriarchy. Whatever, you're going to smash it. It's going to be beautiful.
I want to say my daughter works with the campus feminists at Morehead State, and I want to say they organized an event called Smash the Patriarchy. And they got a bunch of dishes that they could break, and then people broke dishes. Just in her thought process. Sometimes it's kind of hard to keep up.
You know, it can be a conceptual art. Conceptual art is just as meaningful, right? She did a conceptual art piece of that, which is just grand. And then the other thing that I think I'm going to try in the craft resistance is exploration with anthrotypes. Anthotypes. So the photography process, you know, how you get, it's a wonderful history of photography, thinking that, you know, we knew how to look through camera obscuras and from 500 BCE, you know, the Chinese invented the camera obscura. So we understood how light comes through spaces and light can be bent, but fixing that image to a surface is the wonderful history of photography. And one of the sort of chapters in that book is the anthotype. So certain vegetables, which, you know, it's the first day of the food farm deliveries, so vegetables are primary in my mind right now, and beets are an example. Spinach is an example where you can make this emulsion out of beets or spinach, and you can make sun types. You know, these are the activities that you would do as a kid, maybe where you had sheets of blue paper where you laid things out, and then the sun would react on that sheet and leave an impression of what was put on that sheet. Well, you can make that emulsion process with beet juice, with spinach. It's really kind of a wonderful both science and artistic process that you can have combined into one. So, you know, you can call it a summertime school activity with your student, with your stay-at-home student, and have fun together with anthotypes. it's a wonderful opportunity. And then finally, I did want to mention that ACO, American Indian Housing Organization, has created this Indigenous Cultural Messaging Project for COVID safety and awareness. And Karen Savage Blue created a really striking piece. And when we think of staying safe with viruses, certainly the Native American community has a pretty horrific history of being subjected to viruses. And the ACO has taken this history and empowered artists to create work that protects their community. And Karen Savage Blue has come up with a beautiful piece that looks at the path of resistance forward. Her piece is specifically focused on social distancing, but there's plenty of others in that project that are looking at other ways of protecting that community. So, and our whole community. I mean, I think that ACO is really being a leader in the sense that when you protect each other, you are protecting all of us, which is a really radically, it's radical kindness that we can be these radically kind neighbors, that we are protecting our families, we're protecting our neighbors, and in doing so, we are protecting people who we might not agree with, who we might, you know, be really angry at right now. And so I think it's, you know, that path forward is beautiful. And Karen Savage Blue came up with a lovely painting that I will send you the link for, Lisa, so that you can put that up online for folks to see as well.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. This is our Where's Art feature seems to me to have taken on kind of a new depth and relevance and urgency perhaps now, when maybe we have the time to look at these things that perhaps we didn't before, or maybe we have a need and we'll be seeking them out deliberately. There have been times, of course, in our history when the arts have come under attack and funding for the arts have come under attack. This is a time where I think a lot of people are seeing the importance of the arts and how the arts are what is keeping us going as we have muddled through the last few months, and as we may be muddling for a while longer as we struggle to make sense of the changes in our world that have occurred so very recently. Annie, I really appreciate you. I just want you to know, really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. I appreciate everybody who's listening right now. Thanks, Lisa.
Annie Dugan, our host for Where's Art, a regular feature of Mondays here on 103.3 KUMD.